Colossians 3, verse number 15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, watch this, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. I'm going to read you Hebrews 13, verse 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. And let's pray. Father, please use this tonight. Let this be a help. Thank You for Your Word. Help us to receive it as it is, the Word of truth, Lord, that worketh in our lives effectually. Please help me be easily understood and not misunderstood. And Father, we do pray that please, if someone doesn't know that You is their Savior, that Father, You would touch their heart. And thank You for Your precious blood that washes away our sin. Thank You for salvation. Please help me in Jesus' name. Amen. Take your Bible and go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The whole thing tonight is on Thanksgiving. While you go to 2 Corinthians 9, I'm going to give you the definition of Thanksgiving. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Thanksgiving. The definition of the word is giving or showing thanks for favors or mercies. It also means a public celebration of divine goodness. I think 1621, when they celebrated the first Thanksgiving, they didn't call it Turkey Day. They didn't call it Turkey Day. It was Thanksgiving Day. The word Thanksgiving means they had a public service of divine goodness to celebrate God's goodness. The word Thanksgiving means to acknowledge the goodness of God, either in a remarkable deliverance from calamities or danger, or it means in the ordinary dispensation of His bounties. In other words, in just His ordinary daily goodness. Do you realize you didn't see the wreck that God spared you from today? You didn't see today everything that God did for you. There were things that God did for each one of us today that's just in His regular provision for us. Then there are the things that we saw. I want to take and just go through a list of everything God's done for us as a church. And we'll do that by Christmas, but everything this year God's done. And it's just a beautiful list. And I hope you can think of 2016 and think, just go all the way back to January and say, what has God done for you this year? What did God do for you? That's how He provided. And then there's, like I told you, there's things that we didn't see. You see, the occult recognizes Mother Nature. There's no such thing as Mother Nature. That's occultic. Only the occult thanks their Lucifer lucky stars. That's why they, thank heaven. But you'll realize there's nothing, heaven never did anything for you. God did. You see, there's only two chapters in your Bible, two full chapters that describe heaven in detail. But Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of Me. The whole Bible is about Jesus, the Lord Jesus. So, we thank God. You're in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Who do we give thanksgiving to? I know you know that it's the Lord, but let me show you something. Ready? Look at 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. The gift of salvation and what Jesus did for us is unspeakable. You can't express it all. Right now, the part of the verse I'm trying to emphasize to you is thanks be unto God. We thank God. We sang the verse tonight so you don't have to turn to it, but Psalm 92 verse 1 says, it is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto Thy name, O Most High, to show forth Thy loving kindness in the morning and Thy faithfulness every night. It is a good thing to give thanks. You see, we're supposed to give thanks to God. Well, preacher, I thank other people. When they do, we are supposed to thank other people when they're kind, when they do things for us, but it was God that used them in your life to be a blessing to you. So when you thank other people, and you should say thank you, and you helped me with this, and you were a blessing with this, don't forget it was God that put them in your life. So we thank God while we thank other people. And that's just because that's polite and it's right and it's right to do. Philippians chapter 1 verse 3 says this, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. When we think of each other and how we have served the Lord together and how we've grown, when I think of you, God says it's good for me to say, I thank God for you. I had a lady when I was in the Marine Corps, when she would write a letter, she would just put scripture all the way through it. She always signed the letters like that. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. So, we thank God for other people and their kindnesses. We thank other people and we thank God for them. Next, why do we give thanks to God? Why? You're in 2 Corinthians? Go to Colossians chapter 1. I'm not going to have you turn everywhere with me tonight, but I'll have you turn some places. Colossians chapter 1. Watch this. Who do we give thanks to? We give thanks to God. We're supposed to thank Him. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jehovah Creator God. Thank you. And then why do we thank Him? Look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 16. Ready? God says this, for by Him, by the Lord Jesus, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. Verse 17, and He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Who holds everything together and what keeps things from exploding apart? By Him all things consist and He holds everything together. Look at verse number 18. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Watch this. That in all things He might have the preeminence. That Jesus might be preeminent or supreme or the greatest one. That's what the word means. Why do we give thanks to Him? Because He's better. He's better than anything. 2 Chronicles chapter 2 verse 5 says, the house which I build is great, for great is our God above all gods. Psalm 135 verse 5 says, I know that the Lord is great and that our Lord is above all gods. Our God is greater. God says there's none other God in heaven and there is no other Savior but God Almighty, the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the Lord Jesus is worthy to have the preeminence. Why do we give thanks to Him? Because He's worthy to have first place. We know God is so holy, He cannot look upon sin. Just listen to me, and I'll have you turn to a verse in just a second. But listen, Habakkuk 1:13 says, Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil. God's so holy, He can't even look at sin. Now, He knows what's going on, but that's God trying to describe His holiness to us. Then God says in Psalm 113, I tell you what, I'd like you to see this. Look at Psalm 113, right in the middle of your Bible there. Psalm 113, verse 4. Psalm 113 and verse 4. The Lord is high above all nations and His glory above the heavens. Psalm 113, verse 5. Who is like unto the Lord our God who dwelleth on high? Everybody, look at verse 6. Who humbleth Himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. I don't know if you caught that or not, but God, to look at what God made, God humbles Himself to look at His own creation. Isn't that amazing? Do you know why? You say, well, why would God have to do that? God made the earth because we're sin-cursed. We're sin-cursed. We have a sin-cursed earth. That's why the world's in the mess that it's in. So God says He humbles Himself even when He looks at His own creation, yet God thinks about us. You see, God tells us, why do we worship God? Because God says He humbles Himself. He's the only one that is worthy to have first place. And then God says the opposite about mankind. God says there's not a just man upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. God's Word tells us in Psalm 39, verse 5, that, listen, every man in his best state is altogether vanity. Word vanity means nothing. In your best state, in my best state, I'm altogether vanity. I'm nothing. I'm nothing without God. He's the only one that's worthy to have first place. Listen to how God describes. You see, man without God, in Job 24, verse 3, man without God is like a wild, unbroken ass. God says that in Job 24, verse 3 and 39, verse 5. Job 39, 5. An unbroken donkey. A wild donkey that's out of control. Man is nothing without God. God let Nebuchadnezzar, his servant, live like an animal in answer to his pride and to show him he was nothing without God. What did Nebuchadnezzar do? He walked out, "This great Babylon, which I have built," and boom, God took his sanity. And for 7 years, his hair grew long, his nails grew, he ate grass like an ox and literally lived like an animal that he might know that God ruleth over the whole earth. God says, "You are nothing, and without me, I'll let you live like an animal." That's in Daniel. You see, God says in Jeremiah 17:5, I'm just showing you tonight, why do we thank God? Because no man comes ever close to God. He's the only one that's worthy of first place. Jeremiah 17:5 says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord." Proverbs 28:21, it says, "To have respect of persons is not good." How come man isn't good? For a piece of bread that man will transgress. People will turn on you. And they do. For a piece of bread, they'll transgress. Not two all beef patties, special sauce, lettuce, cheese, onions, pickles, all on a sesame seed bun. Minus the burger. They don't even need for one of the buns. Do you understand? One of the pieces of the buns. For a piece of bread, they'll transgress. They'll turn. God says in Jude, verse number 16, "These are all murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage." Oh, I want to get close to so-and-so because they can do this for me. Or having men's persons in admiration because of it. If I get close to this person, then they'll give me this, hopefully. And God says, that's not how we're supposed to live. God's Word tells us man's proper place. The Lord Jesus Christ is better. So I tried to tell you, who do we thank? We thank God. Why do we thank God? How come we don't? Because God's the only one that's worthy. He's the only one that's worthy of being of the preeminence, of the superiority, of the first place. Where should we give thanks to God? Take your Bible and go to Acts 27. Where should we give thanks to God? Where? Acts 27. Who should we thank? I know you knew that. I know you know. Oh, of course, Pastor, we're supposed to thank the Lord. I know that. But thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. Then how come He's the only one that gets our thanks? Because He's the only one that's worthy of it. And now, where should we thank God? Acts 27, would you look at verse 34? Ready? Acts 27, second to the last chapter there in Acts. Acts 27, look at verse 34. "Wherefore I pray you to take some meat, for this is for your health, for there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you." And when he, Paul, had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God, watch this, in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. So where are we supposed to give thanks to God? In presence of everyone. You see, the Apostle Paul wasn't intimidated or scared to pray or thank the Lord in a restaurant for his food. I don't know what people will think. I have no problem praying in a restaurant. I hope not. You ever watch people go, "Lord, please bless this food. And in our body, thank you, Jesus, amen." So they'd rather people think that they're yawning because, you know, you wouldn't want to get caught praying. You see, volume doesn't determine spirituality. But if you have to act like you're yawning when you're praying because you don't want anybody to see you, then you're ashamed of Christ. And you're controlled by what other people think and you're not controlled by the Spirit of God. You see, He hung on the cross naked to bear the shame of my sin. if He bore my shame, then what in the world am I worried about? What somebody's going to think of me? He went through all that for me. I don't have a problem bowing my head and praying and thanking the Lord. Now, I think I've watched the opposite too. I've watched people, you know, stand on a table and, oh Lord, we thank Thee for the food. And, okay, you probably took it too far. But I think you ought to thank the Lord in the restaurant for your food. And I think you shouldn't be ashamed of the Lord Jesus in public. All right? Would you listen to this close? Therefore, Psalm 18, verse 49, therefore will I give thanks unto Thee, O Lord, among the heathen, and sing praises unto Thy name. I really think there's something wrong with my heart if I can only thank God among other Christians. God says, therefore will I give thanks unto the Lord, unto Thee, O Lord, among the heathen. God wants you and me to testify of His goodness to a lost and dying world. There's something wrong with my heart if I can only give thanks to God when I'm by myself or no one else can hear me. Then I think I have a weak Christianity. So I showed you, who are we to thank? Why are we to thank God? Where should we thank God? In the presence of them all. And then, what are we to be thankful for? Take your Bible and go to Colossians chapter 1. Ready? I know we've already been there. These are the verses that are right before the ones we read. What are we to be thankful for? I would hope if you made out this list, this would be the first thing on your list. But look at Colossians chapter 1. Ready? What are we to thank God for? Colossians 1, look at verse number 12. Ready? Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. What should be one of the first things you thank the Lord for? For salvation. Did you ever think about it? You were on your way to hell before you got saved. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Did you know that before you got saved, God calls us in the Bible, before we're saved, a child of wrath, a child of hell, a child of the devil, before you became God's child. Now, I'm a child of God since I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. That should be something that I thank the Lord for. Did you know that you used to be, before you got saved, you used to be the enemy of God, and now you've been reconciled through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Thank you, Lord. What are we supposed to thank the Lord for? I got four things. Ready? First of all, thank the Lord for salvation. For salvation. Okay? Next. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. This is the second time we'll go there tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, different verse. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. So thank the Lord for salvation. Then thank the Lord for 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and look at verse 10. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both ministereth bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, verse 11, being, and that word right there, enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. So what's that mean? God gave you everything that you need to grow in the Lord. You say, are you sure? Here it says, He enriches us to all bountifulness, which causes us to thank God. It causes us to thank God. When I read Ephesians chapter 1, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Listen to this. 2 Peter 1:3 says, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. What are we supposed to thank God for? Number one is salvation. Number two, He gave us everything we need to grow spiritually when He died for us. That means I have no excuse. Well, I'd grow in the Lord, but, you know, my past is different. He gave me everything I need. And child of God, if you're saved, He gave you everything you need to grow in the Lord. The only reason you're not closer to the Lord is because you don't want to be. It's not because He doesn't want you close. You know what I love? That's what I love about the Christian life. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. In other words, you get to love Jesus as much as you want to. And you'll never outlove Him. So what do you thank the Lord for? You thank the Lord for, first of all, salvation. Second of all, He's given you everything that you need to grow spiritually. And then, look at Psalm 30, verse 4. We're going to go to two more places tonight. Then we're all done. Ready? Psalm 30, verse 4. Ready? Psalm 30, verse 4. While you go there, I was picking up one of my boys from work over at Arby's, and, you know, with all the stupid riots that are going on in the name of prejudice, I think it's sad. I think it's sad. But, you know, I was in the Arby's, and I almost wanted to say, well, praise the Lord, Trump won. But wisdom said, probably not right now. And then my heart was smitten. If you'd say that loud, would you say just praise the Lord? I hope I'd stand for the Lord a lot more than I would somebody else. I hope so. So I said, praise the Lord. And no, I didn't say Trump. You're just scared about it. No, I wasn't either. I was just common sense. Amen. Well, think about that next month, okay? Well, Psalm 30, verse 4. Ready? Watch this. What are we supposed to thank the Lord for? It says here, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of His, and give thanks, what? At the remembrance of His holiness. When you think about the holiness of God, you're supposed to thank the Lord. Now, let me make this more practical for you. Are you ready? We serve a holy God. He is without sin. All other gods are perverts. Did you know that there's a religion out there that'll let the priests commit pedophilia with the children? And they don't do anything about it? Did you know that the Catholic Church just... What the priest do, I think, last week? He did something with abortion, and he said it's okay now to have an abortion. And if you did, you know, that before it used to be one grave sin that only a bishop could oversee. Now all priests can forgive the sin. What? In other words, it's okay. Did you know Islam and Mormonism are sex-based religions? Mormons, the more wives you have, the more children you have, which is falsely supposed to make you a god quicker. That's a perverted, that's a demon. Mormonos. It's behind the Mormon church. It's not the same. All other gods are perverts. Did you know the founder of Mormonism, Joseph Smith, had 27 wives? 27. Did you know Islam, if you die in jihad, you get 70 virgins or whatever in paradise? It's sex-based. It's a sex-based religion. Its founder defiled a 9-year-old girl, Aisha. Muhammad was a pedophile. Its founder was a pedophile. You say, at the remembrance, God says, give thanks at the remembrance of His holiness. Our God is holy. God is without sin, and when we remember His holiness, we thank God for it. Thank You, Lord, that there's no God like You. All other gods are perverts. My God is holy, and He's all-powerful, and He's the Creator. So we thank the Lord for salvation. We thank the Lord because He gave us everything we need to grow spiritually. We thank the Lord at the remembrance of His holiness, and let's go to one more place. Go to Romans chapter 6, and we're all done. We're right on time. Glory to God. Romans chapter 6. You say, what's the fourth thing we thank God for? We thank God because He changed us. He changed us. He's the one that changed us. Look at Romans chapter 6. Look at verse number 17. Ready? Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. You heard the gospel. You got saved. Look at verse 18. Being then made free from sin, Ye became the servants of righteousness. So God says here, you were the servant of sin. You obeyed from the heart the gospel, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. He died for you, shed His blood for you, rose again. You obeyed from the heart what you were taught from the Scripture, and now you've been made free from sin, and you've been made a servant of righteousness. Here it says, when you trusted Christ, you were saved, and you were saved from eternally burning in hell. You were probably saved. Now here we go. When you were saved, you were probably saved to keep you from burning in hell. But did you know that wasn't God's purpose, to keep you out of hell when He saved you? It's one of the benefits. But that's not why God saved you. God didn't save you so you couldn't go to hell. God saved you so you could serve Him and glorify Him. You couldn't do that before you were saved. That's what it says in the passage. You were the servants of sin, but then you obeyed from the heart. You became the servants of righteousness. And look at verse number 19. Ready? Watch this. It says here, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. Watch this. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, semicolon, even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. That word right there in verse 19, as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness. That's immorality. He says, this is the bottom line of the verse. God says, you used to serve sin before you were saved, and God says, now serve me because I saved you. Well, I don't know if I could get up that early. You got that up that early to go hunting? Well, I don't know if I could stay up that late and pray and stuff. You used to party all night. You used to live like an animal. As you used to serve sin, now God says, now serve me. God says, all I want is the same devotion you had to sin before you got saved as you do after you get saved. He said, give that to me. And those verses rocked my world when I got saved. Staying up, coming in 2 o'clock in the morning from a party, getting up 5 o'clock for formation, and, you know, people, and, I mean, you know, we'd do anything for a party. But what would we do for God now that we're saved? And God says, you used to live that way. Give me the same devotion. The same devotion. So what do we thank God for? We thank Him because He's the one that changed us. He made me a servant. You're a preacher. If you're saved, you're a servant of righteousness. If you're saved, you're a servant of right. He changed you. He made you free from sin when you accepted Him as your Savior. And you got the badge, servant of righteousness, when you got saved. What do we thank Him for? Salvation. We thank Him for giving us everything we need to grow spiritually. We thank Him at the remembrance of His holiness. Thank you, God, that there's no God like you. And no God and Allah are not the same. Ever. There's no God like you. And then we thank Him because He changed us. And salvation. Tonight's message is on Thanksgiving. It's on Thanksgiving. I hope tomorrow you're able to get alone and thank God because He's worthy. Now, it'll be somewhere. I think you should thank the Lord. Somewhere where nobody can see you. And I remember one person said, I just have this place in the pines where I go and nobody can see me. And I just do a jig out there. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. You know what I mean? You say, oh, I'd never get excited about God like that. You ever watch Him at a football game? You know, painting half their face this color and that color, and they don't care who sees them either. What, you don't like my team? Well, I'll run over you with my pickup truck. You know, or I don't know what they're saying. But have you ever seen their devotion? And it's to a pigskin with air in it. We serve a greater God. And we have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to be thankful for. Let's pray. Father, please use tonight, I wish.